Let's see if I can give you an illustration this morning that'll really get us into the spirit of the message today. So let's say that me being the generous man that I am, I decided to bless you each day of this new year. Every day I'm going to write you a check for $86,400. Every day. But there's only one catch to it. The only catch to it is that you have to spend it all in that day. Could you do it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't see anybody that's doubting that, huh? Yeah. Now, how many that would know that at midnight of every day, I would wipe out any balance that was left in that account so I could start anew the next day? How many would leave a balance in that account? You'd find a way to spend it, right? Yeah. Well, has anybody yet guessed the illustration? That's right. That's exactly right. So today I want to talk about God opportunities. And I want to start with the fact that every day God gives you 86,400 seconds. Seconds. 86,400 seconds. And that is called your time today, right? Your time today. But just like my illustration, you know what? You can't carry over any balance, can you? No, you can't overdraft it either. It is what it is. But if you fail to lose or to use that day's deposit, right? It's lost, isn't it? No going back. That's the thing. I mean, how many like me, sometimes you say, you know, I'd like to do that over again. Right? I think we all have been there, but there's no going back. All we can do is two things. We have to live in the present, but with a hope for tomorrow, right? And I submit to you that we have to be able to grasp that eternal perspective that's God's perspective in order to seize the day, in order to be able to squeeze out every opportunity that God wants to give us every day. One of the things that I often share with my patients is that they need to be able to enjoy the day instead of worrying about tomorrow to the extent where you lose the opportunity of today. You think about that for a second, and I know that's why our Lord told us not to worry about tomorrow, but indeed, as I've been ministering to people, it's a very common thing that people worry so much about the supposedly limited future that they have left on this earth that then they lose the opportunity of the day because they're so worried sick over what's coming that they can't live in the moment of the day and enjoy it. That's a great lesson that I have learned. And, you know, I have a tendency, maybe some of you do too, to worry, to think ahead and to worry. And it really is something that I have always had to fight and struggle against in order to take captive those thoughts, right, and make them obedient to Christ. And literally, with God's help, force myself to, hey, not worry about the things I cannot control, right? And instead, look at the opportunities of each day. So I have a text scripture for you today that I hope is going to launch us into a year of opportunity. And the scripture is Ephesians chapter 5. You can turn there with me. And we'll start in verse 15 and just read a few verses. Ephesians 5 and verse 15 to 17 to be specific. I'll read out of the NIV today. It says this, Paul writing. He says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish but understand what the Lord's will is." Now, I know and you know that these days are challenging days. And it wouldn't be too much of a stretch for us to even categorize some of them evil. Indeed. But what Paul is saying is that even in the midst, maybe even especially in the midst of evil days, there are God opportunities. But we have to be on the lookout for them. We have to be aware of those opportunities or we can miss them. And I mean, missing an opportunity is a terrible thing. You know me, I love to eat. I do. And I remember the first time Kim and I took our trip to China. And, you know, Chinese food in China is a little different than Chinese food in America. And one of the things that was different is the restaurant that they took us to first, you sat around a giant round table. And in the middle of the round table, the only thing I could describe it was a huge lazy Susan, if you know what I mean. And so people from the kitchen kept coming out and they kept putting the dishes on that center spinny thing. Spinny thing, it's a technical term, you know. And literally, you know, as it would go around, you know, you took from there and put it on your plate. Unlike Thailand, they had plates in China, right? It was different, right, Chet? I mean, no plates when we were in Cambodia and Thailand. Yeah, it was, yeah, hand to mouth. Anyway, I remember that I finally found something I really liked as it was going around, right? And oh, and you know, you're there as a guest and you don't want to like shove it all onto your plate, you know, they have dishes there. But I was sore disappointed that I only took a little bit because guess what? When it came, everybody must have liked it. You know what I mean? That was so good. And you think, see, the thing is, we don't like to miss opportunities, right? And that's it. There's so many things that I think maybe I have missed that I just wasn't aware, tuned in. You know, and I don't want to be that way. I mean, how many like me want to use whatever time it is that the Lord keeps you on this earth, right, to the fullest and take advantage of every opportunity? And that's what Paul is talking about in this text. You know, the specific Greek word that's used in this text for making the most of is the New Testament word redeeming. Now think about that. So it's redeeming the time. It literally means to buy up, right? And it really is often used in the Greek in the marketplace, buy up. You go down to the store and you look for bargains, and when you find one, you buy up what you can because you know it won't last, right? Yeah, the bargains are always changing. So Paul is saying we need to buy up the opportunities that are created by God even in the midst of evil days. We need to look for ways to do God's will in the midst of the challenges of life and see the opportunities. I mean, you think about some business people that are doing really well. You know, many business folks that are doing really well are prosperous because they look for and they can take advantage of opportunities. It is true. You know, sometimes when the economy is weak, you know, if you have the money, and sometimes that's true when it takes money to make money, but if you have the money, you can, you know, buy up things at lower rates or lower interest rates, even properties, and you can make those wise investments because you're looking at the opportunities that are created even in the midst of a downturn of a market. And a lot of people, not me, but a lot of people are able to do that, right? Because they see opportunity even in the midst of challenge. Well, as Christians, we are called to see opportunity that God wants to create and will create for us in the midst of challenges. Amen? Okay, so let's talk about God's perspective of time for a second. You know, it obviously is different than ours, right? His perspective of time. And when you're an eternal being, it just stands to reason that time is certainly different for you. Well, again, you know, I talked to some of my patients about this, the fact that that when a loved one passes into eternity, time for them changes because they've stepped into the realm in which there is all the time that there ever will ever be. And that's why I believe the scripture says, like a day is like a thousand years. It's just an illustration of the difference of time in eternity. But there are two words for time in the New Testament, and you probably know this. The first is chronos. It refers to clock time or calendar time. I saw you got a new calendar in the office. Thank you. It's where we get our English word chronology, right? Chronos is linear, is sequential. It just makes sense, right? It just keeps marching on. Chronos time, linear, moving in one direction. And it comes, the word chronos is actually a word that comes from Greek mythology. Chronos was one of the gods, right? He was actually a short god with very muscular legs and winged heels. Yeah. And he moved so fast, it said in the mythology, that once he passed you, he was impossible to catch. And to symbolize it, it's pretty fascinating, to symbolize this incredible fast passing of time through Chronos. Chronos was depicted as having a full hair of head in front, but in back he was bald, like me. And it was that way because it was a depiction of the fact that once he passed you, you couldn't have anything to grab a hold of. That's true. I'm telling you the truth. This is Greek mythology. But most importantly, Chronos is a human construct. I mean, it's how humans measure time. But again, God exists outside of time. He indeed is not limited or stuck in time. I had a professor in seminary that challenged us to the question, can God truly predict the future if it hasn't happened yet? And there were some students, Dee, in the class, you know, that tried to reason that through, but of course they were using human reasoning. And they were saying, no. Their response was, no. Why? Well, because it hasn't happened yet. And no one, including God, can see something that hasn't happened yet. And there was a lot of students, you know, that were like, yeah, yeah, not me. I said, my God's bigger than that. My God is bigger than that. You're thinking as if God were a human. God exists above time. Do you remember, Jim, the illustration I used to use years and years ago was, you know, the idea of a parade when you stood at a street corner and you can see up and down as far as you could see. But if you got high enough, you could see the beginning and the end of the parade all at the same time. And the illustration was that's how God sees time. He's above it. It's which is why he can see beginning and end all in the present. And I know that makes our human heads hurt, but it's the truth. God is certainly above time. So in God's word for time, he often in the New Testament scripture uses a different construct that is translated kairos time. And kairos time really is more of that opportune time, where chronos is quantitative, you know, counting minutes, seconds, 86,400 seconds. Kairos is more qualitative. It captures the moment. It's the critical moment or appointed time, like in Esther, for such a time as this, an appointed time. It is indeed, you know, that old Greek carpe diem, seizing the day. But kairos actually, Doug, kairos is actually an archery term. And it literally describes, you know, an arrow that is fired with sufficient force to penetrate the target. And it indeed speaks of the archer's ability to judge how to hit that target. You know, my grandson, 8-year-old, of course, he was using my crossbow, but, you know, got his buck this year, right? Yeah, it was a wonderful shot. Double lung, you know, right down. And anyway, you know, it wasn't a long-distance shot, so he didn't have to judge any fall from the arrow. Did you ever watch those old movies, though? You know, with the old, right, bow and arrows where, yeah, Doug, I mean, they literally, you know, but it was uncanny how they could judge the arch over distance to hit the spot. Uncanny. Well, that's kairos, Doug, that's kairos. That's what I'm talking about. The ability to evaluate variables is included in that kind of a concept. You know, certainly in our lives, time management, as in chronos, is important. You know, like the psalmist says, number your days aright. But in this passage of Scripture, Paul is not using chronos, he's using kairos. He's taking it a step further to help us understand something. When he uses the word kairos here, he is talking about literally making the most of every God opportunity. That's what this whole passage is about. The fact that God does create God, I call them God opportunities, right? If we are tuned in, if we are aware, if we are looking for them, then that's part of the problem. You know, this is what I want to do for this upcoming year. And I hope you join me in this prayer and in this desire. I want to wake up in the morning thinking to myself, God, I am going to look for and be aware of the opportunities that you give me today to do your will in those God moments, in those God opportunities that you will dial into my life. Because I know that if we are willing, He is willing. I know that He has lots of opportunities for every one of us if we're willing. First, to be aware that this thing even exists. You know how sad it is to live your life as not a spiritual Christian that is tuned into the Spirit of God, to live your life in such a way where you don't realize God is indeed orchestrating divine opportunities for you. What a sad thing it is. But what an exciting thing it is whenever you actually throw pencils on the floor when the pastor's speaking. No, I'm just teasing. I didn't. Don't be embarrassed. This is me. This is me. You don't have to be embarrassed to me. For goodness sakes. There you go. Yeah. What an exciting opportunity it is whenever you do realize that God does these things in our life. I mean, that's the thing, guys. We have a God we know that is active and interactive in our lives, desiring to do these kind of things. But we have to be able to tune in, right? Hearing the voice of God. Now, we've talked before about, you know, hearing the voice of God, and I've talked to you many times about how that typically doesn't come through an audible voice, that, you know, that comes from the outside in through your eardrum. You know, it typically is an inner voice that often registers simply as a thought or an impression even. That's the leading of God. I found that something as an illustration. You know, in today's technology, where's Nick at? Nick, technology. Nick's a technology expert. So good to have him. Isn't it good to have him today? I didn't recognize the guy. He's looking sharp. My goodness gracious. Yeah, technology. He's working in Nashville. Nashville still? Okay. Yeah, sister's in Knoxville? Okay, Nashville, Knoxville. Tennessee. Don't get any ideas, Paul. No, we were just down there, huh? It is, you know, if it was maybe 30 degrees warmer in the winter, I might consider it, but it's just not that warm. I'm sorry, Nick. You know, it isn't. Now, if you lived in, you know, Naples, Florida, maybe, yeah, now you're talking, sure. All right, technology, Nick. I want to talk to you about technology. So there's this development called HSS, hypersonic sound. And the inventor, his name was Elwood Woody, was his nickname, Norris. Had engineered a way for sound waves to be channeled or compressed like a laser beam. And you could actually, he actually can project sound for Over 150 yards, Doug. You know how that's a pretty good shot with a bow. No, it's too far with a crossbow. With a gun. With a rifle. Yeah, 150 yards. And what happens is using this technology, it allows for the sound to be heard by a person in a particular place, but not from those around them. Isn't that cool? That's really cool. You know, if you aim it at the person, that person can hear, but the people around you cannot. It has to be used in the military. Wouldn't you think, Nick? I would guess that it's being used in the military, sure. But in that same way, you know, if you move out of the path of the HSS, you know, that hypersonic sound, if you move out of the path, you'd miss it. You wouldn't hear a thing if you moved out of the path. And you see, here's the illustration, Kelly girl, that we want to stay in God's will and hear His voice speaking to us, leading us, guiding us, directing us. You know, I was just looking through the scriptures and I came across that passage in the book of Hebrews that's actually a quote from the Old Testament, from the Psalms. It says, "So as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as they did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert." And of course, that is referring to how, you know, God took the whole nation of Israel, as it was at the time, out of Egypt, out of bondage, and delivered them. But in the desert, we saw that their hearts were hardened. That their hearts were hardened. And so what God is speaking here, He says, today, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. See, one of the unfortunate outcomes that can happen in the times that we're living in the midst of viruses and, you know, political turmoils and other challenges, is that our hearts can get hardened. And you know, I've seen it, you've seen it, and it's not a pretty thing when a Christian person, man, woman, you know, get so caught up in the midst of the crap, another technical term, you know, that's going on, that they allow their heart to be hardened. You know, terrible thing. I really believe that we can callous our hearts. You know what calluses are, right? Yeah. Now, calluses on your hand may not be a bad thing, you know, when you're working. But calluses on your heart are a really bad thing. Because what calluses do is desensitize. That's the problem. And in the midst of challenging times, when we see a lot of people that are being, you know, not good. You know, a lot of people that are doing wrong things. You know, and it does make you angry. You know, but the scripture, in your anger, sin not. You know, that's the scripture. That's the thing. We have to keep our hearts soft and pliable, which is to say, we have to not develop calluses on the very organ of our life. And this, I'm not talking about the literal heart that beats, but I'm talking about the spiritual organ of our hearts, which is where we sense the leading of God. The inspiration of God. Yes, Herb.
Well, if we callous our hearts,
yep,
that means that we cannot feel.
That's right. That's exactly what it means.
We're not sensitive enough.
That's precisely what it means. We're not sensitive. We're not in tune. In fact, you know, when we've in Bible study, we were talking about Bible study before church today, when we talked about, you know, is it impossible to lose your salvation? That was a great, deep discussion. I said, you know, I really believe that if you would continue in unrepented sin over and over and over and over again long enough, I really believe that your heart becomes so callous that you no longer feel any remorse for your sin because your heart has been calloused, hardened. And see, I think if you don't feel remorse for sin, then there is no repentance, because godly sorrow produces repentance, right? And the thing is if you indeed feel nothing, how could you repent and get right with God? I mean, anyway, sensitivity is an incredibly important thing in our life. So to put a period at the end of this point and move on, in the midst of the challenges that we're going through, please be aware that it is easy to start hardening in here, to get calluses going on in there in the midst of all the crap, right? And that is going to affect us as we are seeking to be led and guided by God into those God opportunities. And we can't let it affect us. We have to keep our hearts soft before the Lord. We have to keep in tune with the Spirit. We have to continually pray for sensitivity, that we indeed would be able to hear the voice of the Lord. It's no wonder that in the book of Hebrews, the whole way from 3 to 12, there's this progression of thought, chapter 3 to chapter 12, about, you know, hearing the voice of the Lord. You know, in chapter 4 is where that famous scripture is that says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart," the Word of God. Now, I mean, I understand very, very clearly how God can use this specific word to lead and guide us. You know, and that's why in this upcoming year, we all need to make sure we're into this, right? Because God, who inspired this, can use it to speak to us in certain situations and opportunities, you know, to guide, lead, direct. And it's a wonderful thing to be led by God as you're reading and studying the Word of God. Amen? But also, God speaks directly to you. Again, not that audible voice, but that inspiration, if you indeed are willing. See that you do not refuse him who speaks, the scripture goes on to say in the book of Hebrews, now in the 12th chapter, that you don't refuse him who speaks. You know, it happened so long ago. I mean, literally 37 years ago, when I was working a different job and pastoring as well, and I was in New England by myself. Kim and I were engaged, and so it's 38 years ago. And anyway, I went to a pancake house for breakfast by myself. And in that pancake house, there was a waitress that was waiting on me. And immediately when she came to my table, I sensed the Spirit of the Lord saying, "She's troubled, pray for her." 38 years ago. And I said to the Lord in my spirit, "Lord, she's busy. You know, this is a breakfast restaurant. They're packed and, you know, she's busy." She'd come around again, and you could see it on her own. You know, I could. That day, I could. Same urging, same leading. You know, I left that restaurant that day without praying for that woman. And to this day, I remember that as vividly as if it had happened. And not that I'm carrying deep condemnation, but I'm carrying a wonderful illustration of what it feels like to miss an opportunity, a God opportunity. You know what I mean? I'm not any longer condemned over it, although I did condemn myself for a while. But now, I don't want to ever miss those things again. I want to be willing, right? And I'm studying the book of Acts again. And, you know, the book of Acts is an incredible book. And we're going to be looking at it at the beginning of the year, by the way, in Bible study. An incredible look to, we went from Revelation, now we're going to go back to Acts, right? The Acts, right? So it's an incredible book when you want to look at how people were led by the Holy Spirit. Incredible study, right? I mean, chapter 3, Peter and John going to the temple. Did you ever not think to yourself, whenever Peter and John went to the temple through the Gate Beautiful that day and saw the crippled man, that they probably saw that same man 100,000 times? I'm probably not being literal, but you know what I mean. A whole bunch of times. There is every likelihood, Connie, that that man was a cripple that was sitting at that gate many, many other times when they went past. But this time, when that man looked at them, right? I mean, or just really, I mean, I'm sure it was just the same kind of thing as he did to everybody that was passing, you know, looked for a handout. That's what they did. But that day, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to Peter, and he asked the man, look at me. And what did he say, right? Come on, D. Silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. That was a God moment, Deb. That was a God opportunity. And they didn't miss it. Could have. Same with us, right? God opportunities. Philip and the Ethiopian. Isn't that a crazy story, right? You know, the Spirit of the Lord says, go down this desert road. What does he do? Goes down the desert road. Right? And you talk about Kairos, God's Kairos time. He gets to this chariot, right? And the Ethiopian eunuch that's sitting in there from Candace's treasury in Ethiopia. And at the moment he gets there, he's reading out loud the passage in Isaiah that spoke about Jesus. Come on! That's a God moment. It was orchestrated. Perfect timing. God sees. And as he heard that Philip didn't have to ask, what do I do next? It was that obvious. Right? All he was obedient. I'm going down the desert road. Everything else was dropped in his lap because he was in tune. So, he says right to the guy, do you understand what you're reading? How could I understand? The guy says, I don't have anybody explain it to me. Amazing. But my favorite real fast. My favorite is Acts chapter 16. Turn there with me. I'll just do it real fast. My favorite is this one, Acts chapter 16. We're going to wrap up right after this. Don't worry. Acts chapter 16, right? So it says in verse 6, let's look at verse 6, Acts 16, verse 6, Paul, it's talking about Paul. Yeah, Paul, I mean, this guy was obviously in tune. I tell you how in tune he was. Paul was so in tune that in another time, I'm giving you time to turn there, another time, right, when he went and was meeting with the Ephesian elders, the elders from Ephesus, because he knew he might not see him again because he knew he was going to be arrested in Jerusalem, the prophet came down, took his belt, remember, and tied his own hands and said, in the same way, it was Paul's belt, they're going to tie the owner of the belt up. And the church went nuts. They said, don't go, Paul, don't go, because the prophet spoke. This is going to happen. What did Paul say? Not tell me anything, I don't know. God told me what I'm going to go through. I'm going to do it. Right? This guy was sensitive, willing, obedient, right? So in this passage, listen to this, Jim. Verse 6. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia. Now look what it says next, Cindy. Having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. How was he kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia? I don't know. But what does it say? He was kept from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Right? What do you? Your speculation is as good as mine there, because it doesn't tell you, but it certainly is clear that the Holy Spirit somehow got through to Paul, I don't want you there. Well, it gets better. When they came to the border of Mysia, M-Y-S-I-A, they tried to enter Bithynia, which is right next door. And what does it say? But the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. I'll tell you what, I bet you there's going to be some places that you want to go this upcoming year, and God would say, don't. Just as much as he would say, go this place, right? Are you hearing me? The Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by. Mysia went down to Troas. Now here's what happened. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. And guess what? After Paul saw the vision, we got ready at once, it says, to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. What are we reading about here? We're reading about a man who was led, directed, and guided by the Spirit of God every day of his life. In tune. You know, okay, we're going out. That's cool. You start getting, no, I don't want you there. Okay, don't want you there. Vision. Oh, you want me there. Can you imagine about how exciting it will be when you tune in to that level? How exciting your life can be when you are willing, when you are aware that God wants to do these kind of things. This isn't just for Him. I mean, this is New Testament living, Spirit-filled living. This is for us. I'm telling you the truth, church. God will bring opportunities to you this year in the midst of whatever's going on. I mean, I believe that the church of God is being called to such a time as this to be tuned in, because God is going to set up the opportunities. And I believe with all my heart that this year is going to be a year of opportunity. Opportunity to make a difference in other people's lives, if we're willing. Amen? So how many will join with me today and say, Lord, help me to be aware. Help me to tune in. Help me to wake up with this idea in my head that I want to be used by you, that I indeed know you can do these things in my life and will. Make me that way, Lord. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we as Christians, we are filled with your Spirit, and by your Spirit, we know we can be led and guided and directed by you. But Father God, we have to first of all be aware that you want to do these kind of things in us. And then we got to, Lord, just be sensitive, almost be expecting it to happen. And then, Lord, we got to be willing to actually be obedient to you. And so, Father, I just pray for that excitement, Lord, to enter each one here. That indeed, 2021, a year of opportunity. The opportunities that are kairos, that are God moments, that are God designed with our name on them. And so, Father, let us look forward to it. Lord, and let us indeed do your will. Glorify your name. Lord, help others. Make such a difference. For we pray it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you, church. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, right? His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. He's going to give you 86,400 again tomorrow. new every morning. Amen? God bless you, church. Happy New Year, by the way.